Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Amazing, amazing presence of God. Well, I'm really excited this morning. Before we move on really quickly, some of our youth leaders this morning, four of them to be exact, are actually serving in our kids department this morning. They're so passionate about the next generation. They're next door with our children this morning after being all camp all week long with young people. How incredible are our youth leaders? I don't know. It's hard to move on. But we're going to move on because we've got just a few moments to unpack something that God's going to share with us this morning. And I love this because when the Holy Spirit is on the move, it manifests in us in love. That's the truth. That when the Holy Spirit is in and doing a work in our life, it always manifests in love. And so that is the series and the theme that we're about to walk into as a church for October. It's really exciting. Our theme is called Love Is. And as a part of this series, we're actually going to unpack the four Greek words for love. Now, most of you are probably thinking this morning we're going to do Eros because of the sound of Graham's voice this morning. That beautiful, sexy, husky voice. But we're not going to launch with Eros today. We're saving that one till last. It's going to be a great week in week four of October. But we're going to get started today on one of the four Greek words for love. Now, if you want to search this up and do some extra study in your time, there is actually 12 Greek words for love, but most of these can be summed up within four. And the reason we're unpacking this as a series in October is because the way that God loves us is found in all of these. And the Word of God is actually really clear that we are to imitate God in this. And so we're actually going to unpack how God loves and how He speaks through love so that we ourselves can learn it so we can do it. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for October? Who's willing to love on somebody in October? It's gonna be an awesome month. I want to start this series with letting you know the title of today's message because I am speaking on one of the Greek words today, which is phileo. And phileo is actually the brotherly love version of love. And so I want to unpack this morning because it's actually something God requires of you and I. In the Word of God, the commands were not just to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It was then to love one another in the same way. And so this morning we're going to unpack this because this is an incredibly powerful thing that we've been commissioned to do. And so we're going to jump straight into it this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. I've got a quote from Thomas Merton, who is the author of No Man Is an Island. It says, "The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them." Love is complicated. It is an emotion. It is an act of the will. It can be a verb and a noun. It touches everyone, but not everybody touches it. It can't always be felt, but you know it's still there. Love has become the code word for so many things in our life. It can mean acceptance, forgiveness, always being kind, not being mean, tolerating someone, telling the truth, and a whole host of other activities. But what did Jesus mean when he said, "Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor"? Or another translation, "Love your brother." What did he mean by this? It is important to understand that there are different words for these kinds of love in the original language of the New Testament. This month, as a part of our Love Is series, we're going to look at the four. They are phileo, eros, storge, and agape. Eros is reserved for specific relationships, but phileo, storge, and agape, through these different forms of love, you get a clearer picture of how Jesus loves us. Love looks like all of these packaged together. Love looks like being the type of person who is also willing to learn it and share these kinds of loves with those around them. So this morning, we're totally going to unpack phileo, love. And I want to just touch on this for just a moment to unpack what it is, because this morning we're actually going to unpack why we do this, why we operate in phileo love. So this is what phileo love is. The Greek language has many variations on the word love, where English is unfortunately limited to just one. There's lost meaning in just using one word for the word love. The idea of brotherly love comes from the Greek word phileo, which is actually commonly used to talk about love in the Bible. It speaks of a deep affection and a willingness to do whatever it is that is needed for your brother. And phileo doesn't just mean it's shared between the fellas, all right? Although it's that phileo love is described as a brotherly love, this is actually, the translation means a friendship love. It is for all of those types of relationships. I believe Jesus had this in mind when he calls us to love others. Having this kind of love for strangers, for our enemies, for our brothers, for our neighbors is challenging, but it is also life-changing. It changes them, it changes us, and it changes the world we live in when we get a great understanding of this. The Bible even recognizes the differences, and it helps us to derive the meaning and understanding from it. And a great example of phileo love is the relationship shared between Jesus himself and his disciple Peter. They have an unusual relationship, Jesus and Peter. Of all of the disciples, you can actually see when you unpack the Gospels that there is different relationships shared between Jesus and the 12. The 12 are brought into his inner circle and travel with him and learn from him. And the church, as we know it today, begins on the shoulders of these men. But three in particular are brought into Jesus's inner circle. And one in particular is brought so close that Jesus has this conversation in John 21, 15, 17 with Peter that I think really sums up phileo love. And it's so unbelievable because it's a moment and a conversation in which Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Do you know the passage? Do you remember the passage? Jesus asks Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And each time Peter responds, yes. But this is what's really interesting about this text in John. The first two times that Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" He's speaking, the translation is, "Do you love me? Agape, love me." Now, I'm not going to unpack agape because that would be revealing Graham's preach next week. But agape is unconditional love. Agape is, I love you because I understand what you have done in my world and my identity is set in you. So Jesus asks Peter twice, "Do you love me?" And that's what he's saying. Do you love me because you understand who you are in me? Or do you love me because my love for you is unconditional? That's what he's asking in the first two times. But Jesus goes on to ask him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And in this third translation, it is no longer agape. Jesus is asking Peter, "Do you phileo love me?" This changes the whole context of how Jesus wants to do relationship with you and I. And I love this because God is sovereign, God is almighty, God is all powerful, but God wants to actually live with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to know you and do life so intimately with you that he doesn't just walk the amazing, powerful moments, encounter moments that shift and change us. He wants to walk through the mundane with you, which is what friends do. He wants to walk through the everyday with you, the routine that happens, the phileo, brotherly love. I love this because what he's saying to Peter in this moment is that I want to know, do you companionably, relationally love me? That's what he's asking. And I think it's really interesting. We've got something to learn from Jesus in this moment because it's not just agape. It's both that are required for an intimate relationship with Jesus. There's something powerful to be learned here. Jesus wanted to know if Peter cared for him as a person and as a brother. He wanted Peter to know what true reconciliation and friendship look like as it requires both kinds of love. I believe that the Bible is asking us in this passage to look deeper at our relationships and how we express love to one another. I want to tell you a story about a special person in my life that went to be with Jesus about 18 months ago. I went to Townsville to celebrate the life of my Uncle Philip. And my Uncle Philip was not an old man when he passed away and went to be with Jesus, but he had lived a long life with his beautiful wife, Auntie Anne. My Auntie Anne, not your Auntie Anne. My Auntie Anne. But I want to tell you something about his life. For the last 14 years of my Uncle Philip's life, he suffered with both Huntington's and Alzheimer's disease. And for a good 6 years of the last part of his journey, he didn't even really know who my Auntie Anne was. This really blew me away when I went to his memorial, and I had a moment to sit with my Auntie Anne and ask her, how did you do that? How did you, for so much of your journey with the love of your life, give one way and not receive anything back? For so much of it, he didn't even really realize who she was to his world. How did you do this? And I really loved it because her response was, as I made a pledge and I made a vow to be there that's not conditional on anything. And I chose to live it out. Now, I have seen a blessing. I didn't unpack this in the 8:30 service, but I have to be really honest. I'm humbled by these simple and yet profound acts and displays of God's love, because through my auntie, I really understood for a moment there how agape and phileo came together in perfect union to love my uncle for his years. But I've seen how blessed and favored she is since he's gone to be with Jesus, because for the 14 years that she cared for him and gave her whole life to serve him with not receiving anything back, it took a toll on her health. And when I went up to the memorial, there wasn't a lot left of my auntie. She was very, very frail, not a lot of weight on. And I even came back to Graham and said I was fearful that she would go soon after. However, the opposite has happened. I believe God has favored her agape phileo love for my uncle, so much so that she's at least put on about 20 kilos and she's living a blessed life, watching her grandchildren grow. And I know that that is favor, because she displayed God's love even when it wasn't able to be reciprocated by the love of her life. There's something incredibly powerful in this. God wants us to go deeper, to offer love unconditionally despite the actions of others. This is a love that says, I will love you even when you deny me love. In return, I will love you even when I don't or can't love you or love myself. This is what the perfect union of agape and phileo love looks like. We need to build people into our lives who operate in phileo love. I have this in my world. I have a couple of girlfriends. They're amazing girlfriends who phileo love me. There is no better way to put it, but they come alongside me in my journey and celebrate the wins, but they journey through the tough stuff. Phileo brothers are honest. I love to watch Graham and his brothers, but I have three brothers myself. I'm the eldest of four and have three brothers. In my family, I don't think there is anybody more honest than brothers. When everybody else in my world is saying, you're beautiful, you're talented, they're like, what the heck happened to your face today when you're not looking that great? Brothers are honest. Does anybody know this? Brothers are honest. Jesse, brothers are honest. The boys are shaking their head. No, I've heard it at youth camp. Brothers are honest. Brothers are honest. Brothers protect. Brothers stand with. On a battlefield, they're found standing together. There is something powerful in the relationship of brothers, and God has called each and every one of us to seek out this kind of relationship where we would have people who partner and stand beside us and phileo love each other, where we walk through and celebrate incredible milestones together, but also help align and shift when we are walking through times of trial. Brothers carry one another. They carry you through trials, but they're also honest to speak when you need aligning, realigning. This is the incredible, powerful phileo love that Jesus wants us to go deeper in. Do you have that kind of person in your life? I want to challenge you this morning. Do you have relationships in your life that can phileo love into your world? Do you have them where you can do that to others? Have you lent into people enough, been vulnerable and open enough to be able to phileo love people in your world? This is a challenge for this morning. That's what brotherly love is. Do you know there's no greater relationship in the Bible to display this? And I'm not going to fully unpack this morning. This is your study thing. So if you take notes this morning, you can take this passage down. It's great for you to go away this week and have a read about this particular relationship in the Bible. But I think that there is no greater relationship in the Bible that displays phileo love than King David and Jonathan. For those of you who don't know the story, Jonathan is the son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. Very, very powerful man. However, if you put succession in order, you would realize that the next king would be Jonathan. But that wasn't God's plan for Israel. Samuel comes and anoints a young man, David, to be king, which automatically removes Jonathan his birthright for being the next king of Israel. Now, for many of us, I don't know, I'm going to be really honest here, that would be enough for me to walk away from relationship with David. At this stage that it becomes revealed that David has been anointed king, Jonathan and him are already friends. Now, it's really easy to be friends when neither of you have position. But what happens when a person who has not got the birthright is given elevation or position over you? This friendship is tested, but here's the most amazing thing. Jonathan's response to this moment is not to lean out and partner with his father in a jealousy and a rage about David being anointed as king, because for the rest of Saul's life, it ruins his life. Jonathan could have partnered with that, but he doesn't. He chooses phileo love for his friend. He chooses a sacrificing, honest friendship with his new king and his friend. And the rest of the journey of Jonathan's life is found standing beside David. And they walk incredible victories, but they walk through unbelievable trials and tragedies. But for the rest of his life, Jonathan not only is found beside David's side, but he is, in 1 Samuel 18:3, it says this: Jonathan made a covenant before God with David because he loved him as his own soul. He made a covenant with God to phileo love this man until the end of his day. Because of it, I love this. I think about the song that is sung about David and Saul, that Saul will have his thousands and David his 10,000s. Do you know that's David and Jonathan? Because he was found with him in every single time. David's victory was Jonathan's victory. He lived in the blessing and favor over David's life because he was found phileo loving his friend consistently through the whole thing. They're an incredibly powerful example of phileo love. Go away and read that. This passage, it's found in 1 Samuel 18. And you'll read about this incredible man who displays phileo love. Martin Luther King Jr. says this: love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. So what are we to do with this phileo love? What are we to do with it? I've got a couple of really short points on what we are to do. If we're supposed to phileo love one another, how does that look? How do we do that? Point number one is to live it. Live love. live love. 1 Corinthians 13 puts it really beautifully like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is how we display love. Do you know that this passage, which is often read out at weddings, is not read out because usually the two people standing at the altar have hit the mark on all of these things. They're like, yes, this person does this, and so I'm standing at the altar. It's actually in there as a reminder of how we are to treat one another, how we are to extend love to one another. We need the reminder. We need the reminder. And why do we need the reminder? It's because operating in love has evidence in the fruits of the spirits. Galatians 5:22-23 says this, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Simple, right? Is anybody feeling really overwhelmed this morning with just how to operate in love? I read these two passages, 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians 5, on how we are to be displaying love for one another. And the honest truth is it can be really overwhelming. When circumstances come up, it's hard often to operate with self-control. It's hard to operate with gentleness, right? God didn't promise us to have a peaceful life. He said trials will come. But this is what I've discovered, and I'm so glad that what happened in our services earlier this morning happened, because each and every one of us who responded to that moment to allow the Holy Spirit to get in and saturate us now have an opportunity to operate out of that. And why I say that for a reason. If you unpack the fruits of the Spirit, you can actually read it and pull apart its meaning. It translates to the evidence that the Holy Spirit is living within you will mean this is your default reactions. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be really honest here. When pressure comes, and pressure is a great thing, when pressure and trial comes in your life, there are usually two responses. There's performance, so it will stir something incredible out of your life, or there is puncture. There'll be a blowout moment. Both are really good. And I say that for a reason. Not because people in your world would really love to experience your blowout moment, your puncture moment, but because it is like a gauge where you can assess where your relationship is in the Holy Spirit, where it's at. And the reason I say that is because the responses or the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evidence that He is living and breathing within your life. That's what it is. It's not something that you can by default operate in. Let me give you an example. When pressure comes, each of us have a different reaction. I don't know what your reaction is. Everybody's a little bit different. Some people withdraw, become really quiet. Some people automatically cry. You know, something bad happens, somebody says something, and they cry. I'm neither of those two things. There are lots. You know how people say there is fight and there is flight. Some people go away quietly and have a cry. I am not that one. I am fight. All right, so when pressure comes, my response is to fight. If this is a spiritual thing, this is a good reaction. If this is not a spiritual thing and it's actually just popcorn left on the floor of my living room, this is not a good thing. Okay, so my reaction is usually like a crazy woman. Now, I can see my son is smirking right now. Now, because I have matured as a human, my responses have beautiful guards up on them. Meaning at church, you won't often see that crazy woman side. I have matured. But in my home, when I come home from being at work and I walk into our kitchen that just hours ago was spotless but is now completely covered in food, and Annie's toys are meticulously placed in every hallway that you would need to walk in, and there is popcorn shoved down the corners of the couch, and all of the wrappers of the food, Grandma knows what I'm talking about, are not put in a bin, but they are put down the cushions of the couch. This crazy woman appears, and the truth is I've come home from being away before. So I travel sometimes with work as a stylist, and I have come home, and the whole family is got that expectation of mom's coming home. And I have the expectation of, I'm going home. But what happens is that I will open the front door and be like, what happened here? You knew I was coming home. You think I'm kidding, but this is exactly what it sounds like. Am I right, Tobin? I will walk in, and then this is what starts to happen, because everybody knows, and don't pretend you don't do it, but I'm like, right, right. So this is what's happening. Tobin, go and put the rubbish out. Why is this rubbish over here? And this crazy cleaning woman comes out. But this is what I've discovered. That reaction is not there when the Holy Spirit is inside me. Now, the Holy Spirit is always with me because I've received baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this is not a one-time event. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants to dwell in you, to indwell in you, to be in constant relationship. And I have to tell you, my natural responses to these pressure moments are not the fruits of the Spirit. But I don't have to try and be the fruits of the Spirit when the Holy Spirit is dwelling and being and having His being within me. Because what happens when you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit is your defaults change. That's what happens. The fruits of the Spirit are evidence that you are in constant relationship. There is a way. If you find that you have natural defaults when pressure comes, let it be a gauge for your life. I have to be honest. I have now, in the last about 18 months, I've started to see when moments happen, when somebody speaks against me or when something happens in my world. It's not been about the circumstance anymore. Graham and I were chatting about this last week. He asked me, how are you feeling? It's not about the circumstances anymore. It's a gauge for my relationship with the Holy Spirit on what my response is to this moment. I love it because then you actually see the joy in trials because you see the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It's better put like this in this incredible translation of Galatians 5:22. In the Passion Translation, let me read this to you. It's up on the screens. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. For they are meant to be limitless. Extend grace to one another. Keep short accounts. Operate in the same grace that has been extended to you and I. How do you do this? How do you actually outwork and live this? There is one simple way. Jesus came and He displayed this for us when He came and walked the earth. Do you know that there is only one way to live love, and that's to serve? That's it. I loved the quote at the beginning of this by Thomas because it's from a book called No Man is an Island. Not one of us was called to understand love and do nothing with it. We live love when we serve others. You can only exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in your responses when you're rubbing up against other people. When there are moments to serve, to serve, to serve. It's what stirred me this morning about our incredible youth leaders who've served all week long. And then they're found in the house at 7 a.m. this morning ready to serve. Why are they ready to serve? Because the Holy Spirit has been doing something in their lives all week long. And their first response is to serve. Phileo, love, serves. That's how we communicate this incredible love that God wants us to operate out of. You can't actually express phileo love or have phileo love without putting it into action. You need to serve in your conversations. Serve one another in your workplaces. Whatever your platform is, make sure you have one in which you can serve, serving your school, serving your boss, serving your co-workers, regardless of what it is, serving in the house of God. If you don't have an area in your world in which to serve others, you don't have an opportunity to phileo love this world. We've got to have spheres in which we serve one another. Mother Teresa says this, love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service. Which brings me to my final point. This love that we have been given, is the greatest news on the planet. When you understand agape and phileo love from God, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, you can't help but share it. Phileo love shares the good news. It shares the good news. Can I ask each of you right now to go back to that moment in which you first encountered God's love? That moment when you met Jesus and you understood that he loved you despite what you had lived up to that point. And despite what you would live for the rest of your life. There's nothing like that first love. That first love did an automatic response. For so many people who meet Jesus, the very first thing that they do from meeting Jesus is they tell someone about it. Because when you've received the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to save your life and redeem you and justify you and heal you and forgive you, you can't help but share it. You can't help but share it. This is how phileo love is in action. When we share the good news of Jesus. I love this passage in Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. It says, watch what God does and then do it. Love, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. The minute Jesus started his ministry, he began to tell people about his Father. That's what he did. For his whole ministry, he began to, before his ministry began, when he's, for those of you who know this story, when he was a child and he stayed in the temple, he was telling the scholars who knew about the Father. He was found telling people about his Father, about love, about God. This is how we phileo love one another. How would your response be if instead of reacting and speaking in a moment, you think, how can I share God's love in this moment? Maybe it's not a witnessing moment. Maybe your encounter was with another brother or sister in Christ. How can I share God's love? How can I share what he's done in my world with this person right now? Wouldn't it change our conversations? Wouldn't it change our reactions? This news, this good news that we've been given must be shared. It must be shared. Would we remember our first love right now? So the band comes today. I would love to finish with this story this message, as I started to prepare it about 6 or 7 weeks ago, actually came about as my son, Tobin, was sharing his favorite song with me. He loves music and loves to show us what songs he's into. And as he was playing it on the way home from school in the car, something happened in my spirit, because this song is written by somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And yet, because the world craves love and craves a safe refuge, they crave what we have, this good news. This young man had penned a song that comes into line with God's way, that he loves us. And it so deeply impacted me, I went away and I researched the song and why he wrote this song. The song is called "I Will Leave the Light On" by Tom Walker. And he penned this song because he had a friend who at that time was declared missing. And he was declared missing because in a really fast succession in this friend's life, he had entered the drug scene and now dropped off the face of the planet, and nobody could find him. And Tom wrote this song as a desperate plea, a friend opening phileo doors for this friend, because he'd already lost a friend to drugs. And he'd said, no more. If nobody else, if everybody else forgets, or everybody else casts you off because of the lifestyle you're leading, or it's just too hard and we don't know, I will leave the light on. I'll be found like a city on a hill for you. Can we turn our attention to the screens and have a look at this song? I love the statement at the end of that song. What a time to be alive. What you may not know about this song, it was never intended to be a hit. This is his debut single that was never produced by somebody professionally. As a desperate plea for a friend, he put it up on YouTube from a bedroom. This here is people seeing it and amplifying that message. Do you know the same is for you and I? He used a gift on his life to open a door for a friend, one friend. I wonder if we would be willing this morning to do the same. Matthew 5:14-16 says it like this. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you a light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a basket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Can I ask us to be on our feet this morning? This message of God's love and the ultimate way to live in phileo love is to share his love with people and to be like a city on a hill with our light shining so brightly that when people see it, they know where to find hope. They know where to find rest. They know where to find freedom. They know where to find Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, would you get it stirred in your spirit to be a believer that operates in this phileo love for the sake of the world? For the sake of those in your world who need to see Jesus. This is how we share the good news. With all eyes closed and heads bowed right now, could I ask you to just take a moment if that is you this morning and you're responding and saying, yes, that's me. I'm willing to share. I'm willing to share.